10 from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 23, verse 7. Because in Vrindavan, we have the custom or the habit of reading verses again sometimes if we have different speakers. Okay. So I already chose this verse in consultation with Tejasi Krishna, and he gave me permission to talk about it again, just in case someone else was to speak on it. So I think they did speak on it yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Yes. So I will speak on it again today. And tomorrow we will have verse 8. So verse 7. Titiksho yatta vaktanta.
Titiksho yatta vaktanta.
Udvareta jitanila.
Udvareta jitanila.
Arari ariradhya dishu krishnam.
Ariradha dishu krishnam.
Acharata pautamam.
Acharata pautamam.
Titiksho yatta vaktanta.
Titiksho yatta vaktanta.
Udvareta jitanila.
Udvareta jitanila.
Ariradha dishu krishnam.
Ariradha dishu krishnam.
Acharata pautamam.
Acharata pautamam.
Chant.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Udvareta jitanilaha.
Udvareta jitanilaha.
Lirada ishu krishnam.
Lirada ishu krishnam.
Acharata pa uttamam.
Acharata pa uttamam.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Udvareta jitanila.
Udvareta jitanila.
Ariradha ishu krishnam.
Ariradha ishu krishnam.
Acharata uttamam.
Acharata uttamam.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Tikshu yata vaktanta.
Udvareta jitanila.
Urvareta jitanila.
Ariradha ishu krishnam.
Ariradha ishu krishnam.
Acharata bautamam.
Acharata bautamam. Ladies. Titikshu yata bhaktanta. Urvareta jitanila. Ariradha ishu krishnam. Acharata bhutamam. Tikshoyata bhaktanta. Urvareta jitanila. Ariradha ishu krishnam. Acharata bhutamam. Tikshu.
Tolerating.
Yata.
Yata.
Controlling.
Controlling.
Vak.
Vak.
Words.
Words.
Dantaha.
Dantaha.
Controlling the senses.
Controlling the senses.
Udvaretaha.
Udvaretaha.
Without discharge of semen.
Without discharge of semen.
Jita-anilaha.
Jita-anilaha.
Controlling the life air.
Controlling the life air.
Ariradhaishu.
Ariradhaishu.
Simply desiring.
Simply desiring.
Krishnam.
Krishnam.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Achara.
Achara.
Practice.
Practice.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Austerities.
Austerities.
Uttamam.
Uttamam.
The best.
The
best. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. Purport. In Kali Yuga, the following is recommended. Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nisteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Brihadnaradiya Purana. In order to be recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should chant the holy name of the Lord continuously 24 hours a day. Unfortunate persons who cannot accept this formula prefer to execute some type of pseudo-meditation without accepting the other processes of austerity. The fact is, however, one must accept either the severe method of austerity described above to become purified, or take to the process of devotional service recommended for pleasing Supreme Lord Krishna. The person who is Krishna conscious is most intelligent, because in Kali Yuga it is not at all possible to undergo such severe austerities. We need only follow great personalities like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Shikshastra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the holy names of Lord Krishna, which from the very beginning purify the heart and immediately liberate one. Bhava Maha Devagi Nirvapanam. If the real purpose of all yoga is to please Lord Krishna, then the simple bhakti yoga system recommended for this age is sufficient. It is necessary, however, to engage constantly in the service of the Lord. Although Prita Maharaj executed his austerities long before the appearance of Lord Krishna on this planet, his purpose was still to please Krishna. There are many fools who claim that worship of Krishna began only about 5,000 years ago after the appearance of Lord Krishna in India, but this is not a fact. Prita Maharaj worshipped Krishna millions of years ago, for Prita happened to be a descendant of the family of Maharaj Dhruva, who reigned for 36,000 years during the Satyuga age. Unless his total lifespan was 100,000 years, how could Dhruva Maharaj reign over the world for 36,000 years? The point is that Krishna worship existed at the beginning of creation and has continued to exist throughout Satyuga, Chetyuga, and Dwapara Yuga. Now it is continuing in Kali Yuga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears not only in this millennium of Brahma's life, but in every millennium. Therefore, worship of Krishna is conducted in all millenniums. It is not that Krishna worship began only when Krishna appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. This is a foolish conclusion, and that is not substantiated by Vedic literatures. Also of significance in this verse are the words Arirad Taishu Krishna Machara Tapa Uttamam. Maharaj Prithu underwent severe types of austerity for the express purpose of worshipping Krishna. Krishna is so kind, especially in this age. He appears in the transcendental vibration of his holy name. As is said in Narada Panchata, Aradito Yadi Harista Pasatita Kim. If Krishna is worship, if he is the goal of advancement, there is no need for one to execute severe types of tapasya, because one has already reached his destination. If, after executing all types of tapasya, one cannot reach Krishna, all his tapasya has no value. For without Krishna, all austerity is simply wasted labor. Shama eva hi kevalam. We should therefore not be discouraged just because we cannot go to the forest and practice severe austerities. Our life is so short, we must strictly adhere to the principles laid down by the Vaishnava Acharyas and peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. There is no need to become despondent. Narottam Das Thakur recommends, Anande balahari bhaja vrindavan shi guru vaishnava pare majayaman. For transcendental blissful life, chant Hare Krishna mantra, come worship the holy place of Vrindavan, and always engage in service of the Lord, of the spiritual master, and of the Vaishnavas. This Krishna conscious movement is therefore very safe and easy. We have only to execute the order of the Lord and fully surrender to Him. We have only to execute the order of the spiritual master, preach Krishna consciousness, and follow in the path of the Vaishnavas. The spiritual master represents both Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be all right. Such a beautiful purport. Prabhupada was in such ecstasy here. He's like trying to cheer up the devotees here for some reason, not to worry, you don't have to go to the forest. It's okay. Mukam karoti vachalam. Pangalankayate girim yakripantam vande shi guru intinatharinam. Om agyana tibirandasya gananjara shalakaya chakshamanitam yena tasamai shi gurave namaha. Now recently I was giving a class and some devotee asked the question that, you know, is it only in this age that Krishna is worshipped? Is it also in previous ages? So here Prabhupada says, if you think that way, you're a fool. If you think that there is only Krishna 5,000 years ago and now, then you're very foolish. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam itself is eternal, Bhagavad Gita is eternal, and they're existing since the beginning of creation. If you study the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will know that when Lord Brahma began his creation, out of his mouth came all the Vedas, and all the Puranas, even Bhagavad Gita, the histories. So it's quite interesting that the histories came at the beginning of creation. Usually history comes after something happens, and then you can call it history. But actually, the history came before the creation. And that's quite convenient if you want to create something, then you know how to do it. You know, it's It's going to be like this, it's going to be like that, and this is what's going to happen. And that's why Lord Brahma knows past, present, and future, because it already came out from his mouth at the beginning of creation. So Bhagavatam is a history of millions and billions and trillions of years of time. It's a very difficult concept. We understand history. I don't know if any of you have taken history in your schools. It doesn't go back that far, maybe a few hundred years of... And what is it about? War. It's about people fighting and power and killing and exactly what... This is the age of Kali, so it's an age of quarrel. So the history is a history of quarrel. If we study our history books, we will find a lot of quarrel. But if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find there's much more to life than simply war and fighting and people getting supremacy. If you read the newspapers, especially in India, it's only about the politicians. That's all that makes it. And now they're following the West. They have sports too. The sports and the movie stars. So this is the news. But it's not the news in Srimad Bhagavatam. The news of Srimad Bhagavatam is of the greatest personalities. You don't want to hear about all these sports people who are here today and gone tomorrow, and the movie stars also. We want to hear about the greatest persons, the great kings, and how they perfected their lives, not how they ruined their lives and made everybody miserable and themselves. So Gita was spoken by Krishna to the sun god very, very long ago. Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, he said, this Kali Yuga is 432,000 years, Dwapara Yuga 800,000, Treta Yuga 1,200,000. So 2,500,000 years ago, Manu spoke Gita to his disciple, and before that, Krishna spoke it to Vivasvan. So Srila Prabhupada said that therefore, 120,400,000 years ago was when Krishna originally spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan. That means it was there, 120 million years ago. So this is this time. Nobody can. It's beyond our concept, beyond our brain. We can't conceive of millions of years. It's like an ant trying to conceive of our life. So we can't understand this time concept here. So an important thing in this purport is that in Satyayuga, and this Maharaj Prithu, he was living in Satyayuga, he was performing the Yuga Dharma of the age of Satya, and that was meditation and yoga process. And the people in Sattva Yuga, they were very peaceful, non-envious, friendly to every creature, steady in all situations. And they worshipped, but this is how they worshipped the Lord, by austere meditation and internal and external sense control. So Prithu is one example. Valmiki is another example who wrote the Ramayana. He also had to, it took him 60,000 years to perfect his life. For us, it may be 60 years or even more. So it's relative. 100,000 years means you have 60,000. And now we live 100 years, so we don't even live 100 years. So we have at most 60 or 70 years to perfect our lives. So in Satya Yuga, that was their worship. In Treta Yuga, they were fixed in religiosity and sincerely interested in achieving worship of Hari. But they were practicing in the way of yajna, in the sense of yajna, rituals, Vedic rituals. And in Dwapara Yuga, they were doing temple worship, deity worship, and they were worshipping the Lord in the sense of a very great king. But in Kali Yuga, we have our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we worship him by the holy name. And it's described that one who has performed deity worship with brahminical initiation for 1,000 births can chant the holy name of Krishna. So, we have been practicing perhaps deity worship, or perhaps we are mercy cases of Srila Prabhupada, who knows. But Prabhupada did say in a lecture that he was talking about if you fall down from devotional service, that actually he pointed out that all of us in the West, who are taking our birth in the West, that we are born in a fallen condition. That means in our last life, we were perhaps even Brahmins, but we left our brahminical education and we took up Krishna consciousness. But because we didn't do something properly, then we had to be born in some low-class family. But nothing was lost. We kept our Krishna consciousness. And he says, that's why all the Westerners, he says, in your previous life, you were devotees actually, and you made some progress, but you made some mistake or something. Maybe you gave up your brahminical duties, and so now you are here practicing in this Krishna conscious movement. And another memory of Srila Prabhupada was a devotee named Bajahari from London, I believe, UK. And they were in Prabhupada's room, and he was telling, this devotee was saying, you know, I was working in a factory, a steel factory, which is very difficult. It's very hot, blazing fires. And he said, I had the night shift for 2 weeks, and they said he was doing, it was just impossible. He just became a nervous wreck, you know, the whole night with these huge flaming coals and fires and steel. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is because you were Brahmin in your last life, and we were all Brahmins. You were all Brahmins, and now we're back together again in this life. And so that was what Prabhupada said. So all this austerity, this the previous age, everything can be achieved simply by chanting the holy name. And there's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. Krishna varnam tuisha krishnam sangopangasta parshanam yagyai sankitana prayai yajanti hi sumedashaha. Intelligent persons in this age of Kali will worship the Lord, who is Krishna himself, but he's not the color of Krishna. He's a different color. Or he's always chanting the holy names of Krishna along with his associates. And so Krishna Varna has many different meanings. It can be the color of Krishna. So Krishna Varna, he's not actually the color of Krishna. Tuisa Krishna, he's the color of Radharani, because that is his mood. And he's also, but Varna can also mean category, like what Varna do you belong to? So Lord Chaitanya is of the category of Krishna. He belongs to the Varna of Krishna. He's Krishna Varna. Can also mean the mood. He's the mood, but he's not the mood of Krishna. Tuisa Krishna, he's the mood of Radharani. And another meaning of Krishna Varna is that he's always chanting Krishna. He's always, Varna means to pronounce. And another meaning that it is his weapon, his beauty. He's very beautiful like Krishna. And that is his weapon in this age of Kali. Previously, the incarnations used to come and kill all the demons. But in this age, everybody's already dead. They're completely, their intelligence is dead, so what's the use of killing them already? Prabhupada said they're already dead. They're like dead bodies flapping, or we heard yesterday, like the bellows breathing. They're dead people. They're just walking around, dead bodies walking around, because they don't know Krishna. They don't know the goal of life. And so our duty is to wake them up. So Lord Chaitanya, he did not kill. But it is Prabhupada said, he killed them with his beauty. If you meditate on the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, then you will kill your demoniac mentality. And not only his beauty, his associates, the Panchatattva, they are his weapons as well. And he didn't come alone. He came with everyone. He came with Nityananda, who is Balaram. He came with Advaita, who is Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu mixed, Harihara, Sadashiva. He came with Gadadhar, who is Radharani, and also others of the internal potency. And he came with Shivas, who is Narada Muni himself, who is the one who is empowered to spread devotional service. So he came with everyone, and those were his weapons. And they were also, before he came, they were trying to spread Krishna consciousness. So in the Bhagavatam, there's another verse that those who are actually advanced in knowledge appreciate and worship the age of Kali. Because in this fallen age, so easily you can get perfection just by Sankirtan movement. So very easily, there's no rules and regulations. We can just chant anytime, anywhere. So although it's an ocean of faults, there is one beautiful thing. And that is why when Parikshit was faced with Kali face to face, could have killed him. But why didn't he kill him? Why did he spare Kali? Because he saw the good of Kali Yuga. He saw the good. He knew he was, Prabhupada said he was like a bee. He took the good part. And the good part is Sankirtan Yajna of Kali Yuga. So therefore he spared Kali. He allowed Kali to live. And therefore we are fortunate because then Lord Chaitanya came to deliver us in this age of Kali. So we know that in whatever is achieved in Satya Yuga by meditation and Treta Yuga by sacrifice and Dwarpa by deity worship, is achieved in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. So the question may arise in your mind that, well, if it's so easy, then why didn't these other, and it's known in all the yugas, in Satya Yuga they knew, in Treta Yuga, everybody knew about the chanting. It's not they didn't know. Why didn't they just do it? So Srila Prabhupada explained that they thought it was too easy. They thought, oh no, actually, you know, how can you just simply move your lips and your tongue and get perfection? And they said, no, we must do this very complicated Ashtanga Yoga process, and there we have faith in that, and we will get perfection by doing this yoga process. So, Bhagavatam, previously, there was a picture, not Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in the early Bhagavad Gitas, the first one that was printed, there is a picture of a yogi meditating on Super Soul, and he saw Super Soul in his heart. And next to it, and then he would meditate on Super Soul, and then he would make advancement, and he would go back to Godhead. And then there is another picture of a devotee chanting japa in front of the deities. And they were put together, like, it's the same if a yogi is meditating on Super Soul in the heart, and a devotee is chanting Hare Krishna in front of the deities. Non-different. That's what Prabhupada taught us. And then you have the next scene, the yogi and the devotee are both doing Harinam Sankirtan together. Because that's the goal of life. That's what you're supposed to do, to please Krishna. Yoga is meant, everything is meant for pleasing Krishna. And that is the purpose of life. So why do these people, actually, it is also described the great sages of Satya Yuga, the people of Satya Yuga actually, you know, sometimes they realize that actually Kali Yuga is much better because we can just do it instead of 60,000 years. We can do it in, you know, 50 years or 60 or even 5 years or 10 years just by chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. So they are being born, actually, the people of Satya Yuga and the demigods. They're all coming just to take birth in this Kali Yuga. In Iskand, we know that some of our gurukulis must be demigods or sages or something. I think a lot of them are demigods because it's very difficult to curb the enjoying spirit at this youthful age. But hopefully when they get through it, then they will become very strong devotees. Nectar of Devotion says that all these processes, the jnanis, the yogi, the karmis, they are just trying to perfect their process. And the goal is to get a place in the association of devotees who are chanting and hearing the holy name. That's the goal. So, we are so fortunate. We are already in the association. We're chanting, we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And I met one yogi, a lady yogi, a mystic yogi in Vrindavan, who lived not far from the temple. And she was practicing Kapiladev Sankhya Yoga, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. All the very difficult. And she had attained some mystic powers. At the same time, she was chanting Hare Krishna. So I asked her, I said, well, you know, why are you doing this yoga? You're chanting. You know the chanting is the best thing. And she was born in Mayapur too, on top of it. Born in Mayapur, came to live in Vrindavan because that's where her guru sent her. And when she came, it was just all forest. Like she came like 50 years ago when she was just like 18 or 20 years old. And she just lived in the forest. And now but she's also doing the sacrifice 24 hours. She has this fire yoga 24 hours a day. She's doing all the ages, I think, in that deity worship. I think maybe she has some deities too. So all the ages she had in her little ashram there. And it was very much like, you know, Satya Yuga. And then people come to her for ashes from her fire so they can get cured from disease or something like that. So you have a few mystic powers. So then I asked her, I said, well, and she said, but chanting's the best, and that's what I love to do. And that's how I get perfection. So I said, okay, chanting's the best, and that's how you get. So why are you doing this yoga? Why are you doing these other things? And she said, well, I do the yoga because it helps me concentrate on the holy name. So I was just curious. I thought, well, you know. And she's a real yogi, and she's got all this matted hair and whatever, and mystic powers to go with it. Because people, they go there to get, you know, some, to cure disease. That's why in India they go to yogis and they go to gurus just so they can get the blessings so they can cure their disease or pass their exam or get married or something like that. when Prabhupada was traveling on the train in India, he was sitting in the first class with compartment with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and some other sannyasis, and some Indian gentleman came up to him, "Swamiji, please give us your blessings." Prabhupada looked at them and he said, "You really want the blessings?" He said, and he pointed to Mal Krishna, "There, that is my blessing. You just be like him." And then the Indians were just shocked, and they said, "Oh, Swamiji, it's okay, it's all right. We'll see you later." And they dashed out. They dashed out the door, because that blessing they don't want. They want to stay here and make it a nice place to live in this material world. Make the prison, you know, spruce up the prison and make it good so you can enjoy while you're in prison here. So this is not going to work. And this yogi lady, she was interesting, and she said she was chanting the mantra of Satyuga. And the mantra of Satyuga was similar to one verse in Bhagavatam, Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para makha. And then she only had a few of the lines. Vasudeva Paragati, it's in the first canto, third chapter. They were worshipping Vasudeva, but it was a very difficult process. So Prita Maharaj also was following Vanaprastha life. And what was he doing? He was living in the forest, and he was eating fruit and dried leaves, drinking only water, and finally only air. And Prabhupada did say, in Mayapur, you can live only on air. So if anybody wants to be a yogi, you can go to Mayapur and just breathe, and you can live. Because he said there's so much prana in the air there that it's okay, you can do that. But nobody so far has taken up that challenge. Following the principles of forest life, he exposed himself to five kinds of heating. That means in the summer, you have four or five fires around you and then the sun overhead. And I saw a yogi doing this in Govardhan. He was sitting on Govardhan, near Govardhan Hill, not on the hill, but just near it. He had four fires. It was summertime, and he had the fire overhead. I couldn't believe it. It's just like it says in the books here. And this is Vanaprastha life. Now, some interesting details here. You can also take some grains, cooked by fire. You should dress yourself in tree bark, grass, leaves, or skin of a deer. Don't cut your hair, beard, or nails. Don't make any special attempt to remove dirt, but you should take 3 baths a day. It's not that you clean out your nails if they get dirty, or wash your hair. It's like that, matted locks. You're not even supposed to comb your hair. And then in the summer with the fires, and in the winter in the cold water. And I know one devotee who did the winter austerity, and he also got mystic powers. That was before he was a devotee. He told me he was standing in the snows of Moscow, and meditating in the winter. And at the age of 17, he got mystic powers. And he's able to look at you and see your organs and where the disease is and all that kind of stuff. At least he's using it in Krishna consciousness. So that's good. And you're forbidden to clean your teeth. Just imagine what you're going to look like after all these Vanaprastha austerities. And if you can do this your whole life, you will go to Tapaloka, which is the second highest planet to Brahmaloka. It's on the forehead of the universal form. But we don't want to go to Tapaloka. We want to go back to Godhead. What are we going to do on Tapaloka? If not without Krishna and without the devotees. So what do our Vanaprasthas do? They, of course, dress nicely. They don't do these severe austerities. But they go out and preach. They go out and try to spread the Krishna consciousness to everyone. So these other processes in previous ages, they just did not, cannot be practiced in this age. So let me see here. So about this austerities, Prabhupada said, don't worry, don't be despondent. You know, just you follow your spiritual master and you'll be okay. And so I was just reading Chaitanya Bhagavat a few days ago, a week ago perhaps, and Lord Chaitanya was discussing about the people in Navadvip. There are many atheists, and some of them were even sannyasis and brahmacharis doing severe austerities. And they didn't believe in God. They just, of course, they believed in the impersonal one. And he said that these people who are not chanting Hare Krishna and don't believe in Krishna, they're lower than the Muslims and the Malachas who are chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya himself said that. So these people are out doing their austerities, and they will have nothing to show for it at the end of their lives. I know in Vrindavan there's also some Mayavadi sannyasis. But they're not doing these severe austerities like in Lord Chaitanya's time. They can't follow even the four regulative principles, to speak of austerities. And still they carry the danda and they have three lines tilak and they chant Om and even chant Hare Krishna sometimes. I know one of them, met one of our congregational member ladies. She was staying at this sannyasi's ashram in Vrindavan. And somehow or other they started living, not living together, but having an affair. And so because she had some association with devotees, she said to the sannyasi, this is not so good. We should get married. So the sannyasi said, how can I get married? I'm a sannyasi. So this is how they think. what can you do? So Varnashram Dharma Kijai. We don't have that. And even the ones who think they're following, I'm a sannyasi, how can I get married? But they have many girlfriends. So it's just it's very difficult in this age to follow these ashrams. And Lord Chaitanya, therefore, when he came, he made the Namacharya a Muslim, Haridas Thakur. Through Haridas Thakur, he preached the holy name. And he preached through Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, who were ostracized from the Hindu community because they were associating, they were the ministers of the Muslim king. Through them, he preached Nectar of Devotion. He preached the regulations of Bhakti Yoga. And through the mouth of Ramananda Roy, he heard the highest truths. Ramananda Roy was a Shudra, a governor of a state, and he was also engaged in the Muslim kings. Not Muslim king, no. He was King Prataparudra's servant. And he was a Shudra, considered Shudra. And from him, the completely renounced high-class Brahmana, Sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya, heard the highest truths. So what is Lord Chaitanya trying to tell people? That it's not what we think. It's not the externals that we can look at and say, this is a good devotee, this is not. We have to see from the heart. We have to see from the practice. We have to see how the devotee is actually pleasing Krishna, or trying to please Krishna and trying to please the spiritual master. Here it says, Anande bolo hari bhaja Vrindavan. How is he worshipping Vrindavan? Or here you have also a dham. I guess it's Navadvip dham because Lord Chaitanya is here. How is he worshipping the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master? Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement is therefore very safe and easy. We just have to execute the order of the Lord and fully surrender. So Prabhupada has many, many times said, you just chant your 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and I guarantee that you will go back to Godhead. So that is Prabhupada's promise. So therefore, all we have to do is just follow Srila Prabhupada and be faithful to him. Don't go anywhere else. And we will get the highest benefits of life. In another time, I think I told this story in the retreat, that Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in, I believe, Los Angeles. And he was saying to the devotees, unless you are 100% free from material desires, you cannot go back to Godhead. So all of the devotees, when they heard that, their heads went down. Jai. Goni Tai. They all got depressed, and their heads went down, and they thought, oh no, it's hopeless. Well, how are we going to be 100% free? So then Prabhupada said, okay, 90%. And still the devotees were looking, 90%? How is this possible? So he said, okay, 80%. He's giving concessions. And then finally he got off his Vyasasan and he put his chatter on and he looked back and said, 75% free. And so that means if you're 75% free of sinful desires, Prabhupada guarantees he will take you back to Godhead. And that's, what does that mean, 75%? That's what we were discussing in yesterday's Gita class, that the level of nishtha, if you can just come to that level of steadiness in Krishna consciousness, free from ignorance and passion, more or less, and be established in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada will take you back. And we were saying that to get into Goloka Vrindavan, it's not very easy because we don't have the qualifications to get in. What is our qualification? So therefore, after that class, my god sister went and asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that if we're just 75% free of material desires, you will take us back to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I have the key for the back door. So we cannot go in the front door in our level of Krishna consciousness and qualification. But if we just hold on to Srila Prabhupada and hold on to his orders, he will take us back. And we must always be chanting the holy name. Here he says, we don't have to do these austerities, but still we should be constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord and preaching, executing the order of the spiritual master. And I was just reading a really nice verse in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think I told you yesterday. Here, I've got it here. It's more elaborate. If when falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in a loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, or in short, Krishna, then one will automatically be freed from all his sinful reactions. So, now's a good time to practice. How many of you are sneezing? Yeah, I think you just sneezed. Yes. So, when you sneeze, you should say, Krishna. And that will free you from all sins. If you fall down on the ground, just Krishna, instead of, there was one devotee out on book distribution in the winter, and he was preaching to a Christian person. The Christian was a little open and was listening, and the devotee somehow slipped and fell down on the ice, and he said, Krishna! And the Christian was so impressed. He said, well, if I had fallen down, I would have said a lot of other things instead of the name of God. And so he's really impressed with the devotee who fell down on the ice and said, Krishna. But this is good practice, because our death may be that fast. Without knowing, death may come in a very quick way, and we should be prepared to say Krishna at the time of death. Yes, I won't tell about. Well, I could, I guess. Yeah, I had a near-death experience about 6 years ago, and at that point, my memory had been completely taken away. I didn't remember, not only did I not remember who I was, I did not remember what I was. Like, the human identity was gone. Even the no identity, identity was completely gone. And I was completely just like a speck of dust or nothing or whatever. I had consciousness, but there was no intelligence or identity, no ego, no identity, just... because they gave me an overdose of anesthesia, and I guess that's what it's supposed to do to you. It's supposed to make you sleep, but I didn't sleep. I was awake, but the same thing was happening, like you're completely in ignorance. So I was in ignorance, and everything was dark. And so I just, I couldn't think, I couldn't feel. And so in that darkness, suddenly the holy name came in multicolor in English, and it was like this dancing, like a screensaver. And I was, what is this? So somehow seeing the holy name made me chant, and I couldn't do anything physically, but somehow, even though I had no senses, I was chanting the holy name. Just out of habit, I was chanting. And then once I chanted the name of Krishna, then my whole remembrance of who my identity came, and I am Narayani Dasi, a devotee of Krishna, and... I was looking around, but it appears that I have left my body and I have come to this black place, and how come I'm here? I'm supposed to be back to Godhead. Well, what is going on here? I was so frustrated. Is this where I'm going to go at the time of death? I was really upset. Very frustrated. And where's the devotees? And where's Krishna? And how come I'm here? Well, so anyway, but I started composing prayers in Sanskrit, which I don't know. I just remember the beginning and the end of the prayer. The beginning was, here I am again in this place, so I must have been there before. But also, I meant in this material world, it meant. And then the end was, Sharanam Prapati, I surrender to you, Krishna. So one thing I learned from that experience, and then I came down, it took a long time to come back, it took about 5 hours. And the doctor said I was struggling for my life. because I cannot take anesthesia, what to speak. They gave me 3 times an overdose. So therefore I was sometimes not breathing, sometimes breathing. And so it was interesting. Faith and doctors came down. And I was just in there for a routine test. On top of it, I was supposed to walk out in half an hour, they told me. So when I came into consciousness. I could not see, actually. I could only see light and dark. And when I opened my eyes, I saw it's becoming dark. So something must have happened, because I was supposed to go out of here in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, and now it must be like sunset now. So my first question, I started to hear, though. I could hear, I couldn't see. So I asked the doctors, what happened? And they said to me, nothing, it's natural. I didn't believe them. I had this thing on my nose for, you know, like oxygen. Right, it's natural. And I had the thing for my heartbeat on my thumb. No, it's not natural. This is not natural. And I couldn't see on top of it. And this is natural. No more tests for the doctors. And they told me, no more anesthesia for you. And I agree in this life. But what I learned was that even at the time of death, if you forget Krishna, Krishna won't forget you. So I was there, I had, you know, I didn't even know my own name, what to speak of Krishna's name. So how could I say the holy name at the time of death? And so the holy name came to me. I had given 7 japa workshops before that. And so that's the form that Krishna chose to come to me, the form of the holy name, most merciful form. So therefore, don't worry. But the thing is, you have to do your work in this life. You have to chant constantly or as much as possible and have faith in the holy name. And then the holy name will definitely take care of you, even at the time of death, even if you forget everything, which I have a very good memory. So, you know, sometimes I get proud. But at that point, I didn't even know what I was. It's quite an interesting situation to be in for those who have intelligence in the human form of life. Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on this? Yes.
You know, you're saying to say Krishna when you sneeze.
Yeah.
You know, my dad sneezes, he goes, Achyuta.
Achyuta. Very good. Hey, that's good. Yeah, that's a good mantra for curing diseases as well. Achyutananda Govinda. In India, there was this one old Babaji who was curing our diseases. And sometimes I would have a fever. I would go to him, take a glass of water, and he'd go, Achyutananda Govinda. And now I found it in Sachinandan Swami's book. It's a mantra from somewhere, some Purana or Veda or something. And it cures disease. And so we would drink his water, and the fever will be gone. It was really good. He died now. He left his body. He was really a good doctor. He said at the age of 5, his father sent him to the Himalayas to learn. But he ended up as a sweeper in MVT. He was just sweeping the floor. But you don't know who these people are, you know. So we were going to him to cure our diseases. And he was just like a cleaner, a very humble person. But he would just go out and get herbs and things. And, you know, my son, when he was in Gurukul, he had a very, very bad burn on his chest. And some of the flesh was even open. I went to this Baba, and he put on the fire. He took some ghee and frankincense and stirred it up and then put it on his chest. And he didn't get any scar at all, although his whole chest was burnt at the age of 7. Yeah. But anyway, okay, you had a question.
About the equivalence of yoga and chanting.
Yeah.
In the people who practice them, they don't always feel the same. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the... you cannot cheat at yoga. If you have to stand on your hand, you're going to pay the price. If you're going to chant your round, sometimes you may not pay the price. You may be mumbling or you may be thinking, as you know, about other things. And also about the... I think it's also a Prabhupada quotation where he was saying that my devotees get all the exercise they need from kirtan. Is it
He does say that. We heard that was yesterday's class, yeah. Right? I heard about it.
Yeah.
It's just by dancing and
But somehow, sure, I don't think they do. You know, we...
Well, if you don't dance, of course. Like me, I'm too old. So I do yoga, actually. But that's not for...
No, please. Also for the younger ones, they need to exercise and stuff like that. Is it a case where, you know, should we take Prabhupada literally? Or because some, as you probably know, maybe firsthand even, in Hawaii they were forbidding surfing, right? In the mm-hmm. Hawaii temple, surfing was forbidden.
Probably for good reason.
It was too self-gratifying. But we still see it today. I mean, in this temple, we see that...
Hawaii temple. This temple.
Yes.
Oh, this temple.
The local devotees.
Yeah.
We see that they need, at least psychologically, other forms of exercise. Mm-hmm. They also need material. Do you think it's bona fide to perform other... or should you put all your energy in kirtan?
Well, you should put all your energy in kirtan, but if you do have some physical problem, if you don't do kirtan enough, then you probably do need to do something else. But if you do kirtan enough, then it's probably sufficient, because, you know, the people, they jump on the trampoline, and so they say if you jump up and down like that, then that's the best thing for you. But in kirtan it's the same thing, you're jumping on the, you know. In my age, I can't do that. You know, my service is behind the computer most of the time. So therefore, I have to do these other things simply to... And Prabhupada, if you look at the memories, there were some devotees doing yoga in Prabhupada's time. One of his servants was doing yoga. And so he asked Prabhupada if it was okay. He said, yes, it's okay, but don't tell the others, because then they will imitate you and try to... Then they will waste their time. See, for somebody who, like, it's like a medicine. For me, if I don't do some prevention at this age, then the body just, it's deteriorating before my eyes. If I don't do yoga, I have to go to a doctor and pay the doctor bills. And I can't jump in kirtan because of my feet and that. So I do yoga and I walk and things like that. So Prabhupada also, there was another one who was taking a raw food diet, and Prabhupada also said, no, it's okay, you can do that. It's good for your health. He said, that's okay. But he didn't want it to be a fad or something. You know, like sometimes, yes, the young people, they will do something, but then it does take away from their time in the Krishna conscious things. So the main thing is the attitude that you're doing things in. If you are, like myself, I do the yoga because I have to use this body as an instrument in Krishna's service. And I can't dance because my feet are... I used to dance when I was young. I think for at least 10 years I was dancing, but now my feet are in a bad shape, so I can't really do that in kirtan that much. So therefore I have to do other things. But that's very limited, and it's only for the purpose of keeping the body healthy and saving money on doctor bills and to please Krishna. So the danger can be if you think that this is the way, the yoga is the way to please Krishna. That you think that, you know, of course, and you brought up the point that even the devotees, yes, they are doing their yoga better than we devotees are chanting our rounds. But there are 10 offenses to chanting. So if you chant without taking care of those 10 offenses, then it's not, you may think it's okay. But Krishna is watching, and he's listening, and he's coming to hear your rounds when you're chanting. So if you don't have the right quality, then it's going to take much longer. Just like in yoga, if you don't... I mean, the yoga teacher that I have, she's my god sister. So it's very interesting how she teaches yoga as opposed to how other people teach yoga. And it is a form of healing and meditation, but it's meditation with Krishna consciousness. Yes, with Krishna consciousness. It's a meditation. So there are yoga teachers, and there are other yoga teachers, and those who are really very much into it can cure diseases through yoga, and that's very helpful instead of going to the doctor, I find. But as a practice, it will not bring you to the goal of life, and it may make you forget the goal of life if you emphasize it too much.
Even if they're non-different?
Well, the yoga that they're doing now is not the yoga that they were doing in Satya Yoga. It's not none different. It's exercise. It's not that yoga. It's not, yoga. You look what Preeta Maharaj, that's yoga. What Preeta Maharaj was doing, that was yoga. And if you want to find out people who are doing that, you go to the caves of the Himalayas and you can find yogis. Not in the city where, for a few hours you pay them something and then they wear all their, special clothes. And this is not yoga. It's not even hatha yoga. It's not what this is teaching, not what Kapila taught. That lady in Vrindavan, she was practicing yoga.
Okay, and a little comment about living from on air, from air.
Living on air, yeah.
There is in the news some Indian Prabhu.
Oh, sure.
In the news because they put him in a hospital for 3 months under observation to make sure he doesn't eat or drink even. Mm-hmm. They allow him a small glass of water to clean his mouth. And they say that they did not observe him eat.
Yeah, it's possible. I think even our devotee here was doing that for some time, Keshava Priya, living on one orange a day for years. And her husband was living on peanuts. It was a good match. Yes.
I have one comment.
Okay, go ahead.
It's simply that actually Rupa Goswami Bhakti or Samaka Sindhu says we should do everything which is favorable for our personal service.
Right.
We should reject everything.
And Yukta Vairagya.
Yes, exactly. And you were also speaking about Sachinanda Maharaj. And he's giving a nice example of how yoga can improve, well, before our chanting, to concentrate
our
mind on
ice. You can use it.
And so therefore, it's a service which you can really use.
Yeah. But his point was that it's non-different.
Yeah.
So this is not true. I mean, it's non-different in Satya Yuga. And maybe one out of a million may be practicing that yoga which is non-different. And the non-different yoga requires thousands of births. So actually, they can't do it. If you find somebody with mystic power in this birth, it means he has got that perfection in previous birth. It's not like he did it in this birth. It's not possible. The yoga actual process, it takes thousands of years, which means, in terms of Kali Yuga, thousands of births. So, how can it be non-different? Just the time, if you just see the time factor, if you just put that in, and then they think, guys, we are doing yoga. No way. Yeah?
About the blessing of Kali Yuga.
Yeah, blessing of Kali Yuga.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'm wondering about is also that even, with so many of us would even get human forms if it were not Kali Yuga. Would we be qualified to be humans in previous ages?
Would we be qualified to be humans in previous ages?
Well,
according to Srila Prabhupada, we were most likely humans and we were devotees.
Previous ages,
previous ages.
I'm talking about.
Well, that I don't know. What we were in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga. How could I say? It does know the human, you have to take so many births as, Aborigines and whatever. Yeah. In those ages, you would have to take birth as a Brahmana for 1,000 births. And they had long life, so, 1,000 births means, a million years perhaps. So.
It does seem that Kali Yuga is also a special blessing for souls.
It's a special blessing.
Which are, not qualified to get human forms in other ages. So they can get it.
There are some of those. I'm sure you can see them walking around.
I think I'm one of them.
I think there's a lot who aren't qualified to be human beings.
Yeah.
And if we don't help them, then they will go down.
But then it's a blessing that souls are not qualified to get human beings. They do get human forms, and then they do get in touch with some kind of a.
Well, everyone's qualified. It's the natural process. Mm. The last three births before you're a human being, you can come from cow, monkey, or elephant. Lion. Cow, monkey, and lion. Monkeys in ignorance, lions in passion, and cows in goodness. So from those three births, it just happens naturally. So I don't know, you know, how long the history goes back. It can go back, you know, because in the Varnashram system, you have to take so many births as a Shudra, and then so many births as a Vaishya, and so many births. So it's quite possible that we were human beings. But, you know, you have to take so many births and go up the ladder there in previous ages. Previous ages, you had to go up the ladder of Varnashram. This age, there is no Varnashram. So in that sense, we're lucky. And just do it. It doesn't matter what you are in this age. Of course, everybody's Shudra. This is the point. Everybody is born a Shudra. So therefore, there is no Varnashram. And everybody has an equal chance in this age to chant Hare Krishna. Yes?
I was just saying this a school from Java, but is it used like you could bias activities or like?
Yeah, that also. Yeah, there's other places where he says that. Sometimes he gives us a little credit, and sometimes he gives us no credit. And then there's this, when Tamal Krishna was having an operation and he was under anesthesia, then he had a vision that Prabhupada was reporting to the previous acharyas, and he was giving his report, and he said, you know, these people here, they have no qualifications. They are not austere, they can't do austerities, they can't do, they're not clean, so many bad habits, but one good thing they have, they follow me. They can follow me. They have faith in me. He said so. And then Tamal told Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, could be. But in another time, Tamal was saying, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? And Prabhupada said, how many people are there in ISKCON? How many devotees in ISKCON? That's how many pure devotees there are. So he says different things at different times. But, somewhere in between is where we are. Yeah, it's good to think that, you know, we're not qualified. That will be very helpful in spiritual life. It's not good to think, oh yes, I was a devotee in my last life, and therefore, that's here I am. God's gift to humanity, and I'm going to save the world and all that. It's better to think, well, I have no qualification, and it's just His mercy that I can do anything in this movement. It's His mercy. I can speak, I can chant, I can do anything.
Yeah. Once you go, Krishna.